Are you interested in a career in AI, but you aren't sure where to start? Everyone keeps telling you that the only way you can break in is by getting a master's or PhD. You are serious and dedicated, but you just need a roadmap? If that's you, then you need to listen to this episode where we discuss a roadmap to break into AI without a college degree. Today, I have on Dr. Andrea Assoni, a seasoned expert in AI who will give you the insights on what to do without any experience. Andrea has over a decade of experience in AI and a PhD in computational fluid dynamics. Andrea will give you a realistic multi-year plan that starts with mastering the basics of Linux and programming and gradually advancing through the complexities of machine learning, deep learning, and more. This episode is not about quick fixes or overnight success. It's about setting realistic expectations, understanding the dedication required, and the strategic step you must take to build a career in AI and machine learning without the conventional academic path. Whether you're a beginner with a passion for technology or someone looking to pivot your career towards the future of AI, Andrea will give you a clear and actionable path forward. I'm your host, Junaid Iqbal. I'm the founder of NoDegree.com, a career website that helps you find jobs that don't require a degree. I've written over 600 resumes. I've done resumes for people in high school all the way to the C-suite across all industries. I have over 280 recommendations at the bottom of my LinkedIn profile. And I'm on a mission to show that a college degree isn't necessary for success. I interview people who show you that it's not needed, and today we're going to get started and dive deep into the world of AI.
No degree, no problem. Any problem, we can solve them. LinkedIn Somnia keeps us evolving. We're growing in the knowing.
Welcome to another episode of the No Degree Podcast. I want to personally thank you for tuning in and supporting our show. If you haven't yet, hit that follow or subscribe button. I encourage you, don't keep this to yourself. Share these inspiring stories with your friends. Invite them to subscribe and connect with us on social media. So today I have a very special guest. So normally I interview people without degrees. Today I am interviewing a PhD, Dr. Andrea. Do you mind sharing your background and what today's episode is going to be about?
Yeah, sure. My name is, as you say, Andrea. I forgot to put the surname there, though. I don't know how to add it. Anyway, my name is Andrea Serni Isoni, I-S-O-N-I. And yeah, I'm involved essentially in AI data sciences for more than 10 years, straight after my PhD in London, Imperial College. And yeah, I thank you, Jeanette, to invite me on this. I'm going to explain to you how not to do any academic studies, still get into data science and machine learning.
I love it. And one thing I want to say, this is not 2 months, this is not 3 months, this is not 4 months. Just realize that this will be a multi-year journey. You may have to get certain jobs in between to set you up. Because, for example, I'll give an example. Data scientists in this market is very competitive. If you don't have a degree, you will probably have to work as a data analyst, upskills for years, work on projects before you can get a data scientist role. So my goal is to be realistic and truthful and not say, hey, break into machine learning AI in 3 months, become a prompt engineer, do all that. The goal is to really give you the actual steps. So now, what are the first things that people should have a fundamental base of knowledge on?
Yeah, so yeah, I couldn't agree more, so I'm not going to repeat what Jeanette said. Yeah. It's not a quick, you know, get rich quick kind of scheme or whatever, or a bootcamp or half a weekend, which by the way, I'm going to stress that, do not follow any bootcamp for $1,000, pounds, whatever the currency is, that claim that you can be even a software developer in a weekend or something like that. That say, yes, as we agree with Jeanette, that probably you should say all the link on, there will be links that Jeanette can give it to you or things that I can suggest. Don't get too strict on the link I'm going to suggest on the thing to study. There are many equivalent, yeah, but it's example of things that you should study. Okay, so the beginning, after this preamble, I thought was important. The basics are that, and we're starting really from the basics, is understanding Linux, yeah? Linux, the operating system. Most of you probably use Windows, or some of you splurge on the Mac. Linux and the terminal. How to use the terminal. Yeah, this is the very, very basic of understanding first, from there how to become a software developer, and on top of that, we are going to explain all the steps to become a machine learning or engineer or data scientist, depending on what you want to specialize in or things like that. Hope that is clear. That's the real first step. So you need to understand how Linux works and the command line, the terminal.
Okay. Now, why do they need to understand Linux?
Because most of the, first of all, most of the servers, most of the, essentially the computer background, all the script works, work on terminal, command line, and Linux. They are related to that. And that's why, in general, you need to at least have an understanding of the command line and Linux.
Okay. Well, that is good. Oh, now, how well do they have to know Linux?
No, don't need to know much about Linux. The real thing they really need to understand is how to use and operate a command line. And the reason is they need sometimes, or most of the time, depends on the organization, use a terminal that connect to a server, a remote server, that has no graphical interface. I mean, there's no button to click. It's just a terminal line, and they need to put command on it to interface with that. Does that make sense?
Okay. That makes sense. Now, how long does something like this usually take?
Depends on the person, but this very first step, I'm assuming the audience that want to get into this path, it will be a part-time, they need to do something else in their life to live, etc. So, in that basic, I think at least a couple of months, something like that, part-time.
Okay, a couple of months.
That's the first step.
They get comfortable with Linux. They get comfortable with command line. What's next?
Okay, the next is understanding a little bit about programming, yeah? Programming, essentially, there are two main broad categories. One is called front-end, and one is called back-end, okay?
Okay.
Front-end means the graphical interface. I'm not talking about making things look good, yeah? I'm not talking about that. I mean, I literally understand how to put the button in, etc. Usually the main language here is called HTML, yeah?
Okay.
And on the back-end side, there is a bit more broad on that, but fundamentally, you need to understand a few things. One is what is a database, okay? How to program a structure around the database, a language or backend, which I would suggest Python, and what is an API. So I repeat, front-end, you should study a little bit of HTML, yeah? How to build web pages in general, or things like that.
Yeah.
At least have an understanding. On the back-end side, yeah, you should find a language which should be Python. The language should be back-end language should be Python. There are many, but the main one for your future career, remember, you're studying software development because your future career is not software development, it's machine learning, yeah? That's why you choose Python, yeah? And the other one you need to understand is SQL. Understand a little bit how databases and SQL command works. And APIs. What is an API? How to interface with an API? All these pieces, there is a library, which is it's called library. So within any programming language, there are certain framework you can use it. And within Python, there is a library framework called Django, like the movie. Yeah?
So it's Django.
Yeah, like the movie. Yeah? If you're a fan of Tarantino, like I am, it's easy to remember. Django include all the pieces that I got. I split for you, yeah? There is a bit of HTML, there is backend, there is API call, and it's in Python. That's what you at least need to have a flavor in. You need to be comfortable moving around that. All these pieces.
Okay. So, how long does it take to get comfortable? And then I just realized Python, there are people who've worked on it for years and there's still more. Just realize that these programming languages take sometimes years. So how long should they really spend on it to get some level of competency? And just realize even after you're learning this, you want to always improve.
Sure. I would say a year, at least. part-time is an year going around. When I say going around is, for example, HTML, again, we're going to show you the link, but tutorial HTML, build some random pages HTML, put the button, whatever, on the HTML page. Then you go on API. What is an API? Go on a tutorial and understand how to use the terminal to an API that take data in, data back. Data in, data back. And then understand a little bit of SQL. SQL as in to structure a database. I'm sure you're familiar with Excel or spreadsheet. Yeah. But the next level in a programming language is doing through terminal automatically how to populate a spreadsheet, if you want, a table for command line. That's called SQL, roughly speaking. SQL or SQL kind of languages. And then understand how to build a Python and Python script. That's the basic of it, yeah? On that, once it should take you 1 year. After that, you should study a little bit more on, these are the buzzwords in a way, object-oriented programming. In Python, but it's object-oriented programming. It's a way to write in code. Okay? It's called object-oriented programming. It's a way of writing code in classes, a structuring code in a certain way. That's useful for variety of reasons. That's the other thing you should do. And the other is GitHub. GitHub is the company, the technology is called Git. GitHub is the company that's been bought recently by Microsoft, by the way. You need to understand these two things to get to the next level of essentially your programming. Is it clear so far?
It's clear. You know, I'm following.
Okay, so we go to the step, yeah? First, Linux and terminal. Basics. Then you need to understand the flavor of programming, which is condensating what I, in the library, call Django. Django, to use Django, you need to be a little bit HTML, a little what the APIs are, a little bit of databases, and Python. And that's that. Once you've got that, understand a little of object-oriented programming, okay? A Git, GitHub technology. It's a terminal kind of thing, but specific for modifying code collectively. Any software developer, and by the way, a machine learning engineer is a software developer, yeah? It's just a niche or specifically a software developer, yeah? Need to collaborate with other software developers to build the code. The collaboration, most of the time, works with a technology called Git, G-I-T. That's the main collaboration tool they use to share code, modify code together, things like that. That's why I call it that now. And object-oriented programming is the main way they write code. And there we are. And we are about 2 years in.
2 years in. And just realize that you're just scratching the surface. So now, what position would they be in terms of a job, right? So with this 1 to 2 years in, what jobs do they qualify for? Because oftentimes, once you get a job, at least you can get paid to learn and you need a job to survive.
Yes. So let me say two things and then I go straight to the point. Now, at this level, you will have many, well, it's in general, and believe me, it happened also to me sometimes, you're going to be stuck in things that you cannot solve, you can think that you don't understand how they work, you have a bug in the code that doesn't work, things like that, yeah? You will have this thing constantly. There are two ways constantly that developer or any seniority from very junior to very high level constantly use nowadays, okay? Yeah. One is Stack Overflow, yeah?
Yep.
And the other, obviously, more recent is Copilot, ChatGPT, etc. But these are two references. If you don't know it, just try to add on that. Essentially, what I mean by that, I really highly suggest you to do that. When you're stuck, you don't know what to do, go on Stack Overflow and search. If you cannot find the question related to you, write a post. And writing make you learn. Because the more you write something, make you realize what exactly the problem is. Because you need to articulate in your own words, because the other needs to understand you to give you the solution. It's not just the solution, it's the effort you're doing in writing and articulating that make you better. I want to be clear on that. Now, get to the job. Yes, we are about 2 years in at this moment, and you can, at this very moment in time, find a work as an intern, I think, at least an intern, hopefully paid, as you know, intern sometimes is paid, sometimes is not paid, as a software developer. I think you can verify that. Or alternatively, it's not necessarily a bad thing, tester, software tester. There are other ways, and in fact, I kind of suggest them, depend on the person, they can also do a certification on, because to get a certain software testing position, they need to do a certification. But certification is, there is a body, a certifying body, or they certify that you can do a software testing position, yeah? There is another thing that you can add on top. So either an intern optician or some software testing. That should be your aim at this point, okay? And another quick tip, if I can, you can find companies mostly on website. I'm not sure, it's famous in the startup industry, but I'm not sure it's famous everywhere else. It's called angellist.com. All the link, we're gonna, Jed, we are gonna get all the link anyway, right? But just because we are here, use angellist.com to find company to go in any intern position or any company.
They changed it, so it's now Wellfound.
Yeah, but Wellfound, I think Wellfound is a bit contradictory because there are two, as in angellist is still for the startup and Wellfound is just for recruiting or something like that. But anyway, you're right. Thank you.
Yeah.
check both, I would say.
No, the AngelList redirects now. So it was angel.co. So they got bought out. But basically, you want to focus on the job boards that cater to startups.
Yeah, the reason why you want to do that is because startups are more related to AI than bigger companies, and they have less stringent recruitment procedure. So if you don't have, CV or any degree or any sort, you know what? If you can show yourself you can do something, they wouldn't mind. Obviously, they would not pay you much. But the goal here is actually add a little bit of experience more than... I understand that everyone has to be paid. It's not the point. But remember, the goal is ultimately become a data science or machine learning engineer. So here you're just getting a bit of flavor or experience to put in the CV. You need something.
Yeah. And then the reality is, look, if you want to work for a Microsoft OpenAI, they literally have PhDs. You know, they're recruiting from their circles and all that. They're getting 10... At these companies, at these AI positions, they may get thousands of applications. And so, whereas a startup, you know, you can message the founder and get a conversation.
Correct. Yeah. Another thing I would suggest that, by the way, this is also true for any position, go in events. Meetup used to be, I think it still is quite good, meetup.com.
Yep.
Go in events. There is Python, PyData, I think is the most famous one. But anyway, there are a lot of programming, software programming event. Go on that. Just me, other people, and see. You will be surprised. Just have a chat on that. You can find an opportunity for this kind of thing. But we are about 2 years in. Remember that. Two, at least, yeah. 2 years in plus, 6 months internship. As you know, we are going to get to 3 years.
Okay. So now we're getting the internship. What should they do in this internship? Because you can get the internship. Now, how do they maximize their time so they're learning a lot and they're adding value and they're building skills?
Okay. At this point, I think it's fair if someone... So first of all, you really need to understand, do you want to stop here? Because it was already tough. I get it.
Yeah.
By the way, it's tough even for people that do a uni. Don't even for a second think just because you're your uni, they will be massively better than you or any of that. It's not true. Just to be clear on that. I come to that in the conclusion on that. I think it's very important to understand what's the difference between someone more academic and you. What will be the... if you want, I can give that. I think it's important. But anyway,
yeah, go ahead.
To maximize the time, just want to do it on that. We can talk about at the end. To maximize the time, I think you need... First of all, be clear, at this very moment in time, you're not refined. You're not a refined software developer. You're still a bit rough. It's expected to be that. That's why you're in a junior position, it's fair. So the maximum you can do is to really understand getting bad on your work. Now, bear with me. If you find in a position you really don't know what to do, I suggest you two things, okay? One again, what you already suggest, Stack Overflow, ChatGPT. But there is another one. Have you ever heard about Fiverr or yep. similar platform?
Fiverr, so,
Upwork, yeah, whatever. Whatever you cannot solve, put it there. Find literally, like you would employ someone else. And find a job. And even if you pay to do someone else to do the job for you, I understand your little money, but it's way better. Believe me, it's way better. At the end of the day, you're lead for learn. So, and you never pay for a degree. You at least little bit, maybe you can pay in that way, right? It's fair. It's still education. At the end of the day, doesn't, in my judgment, the fact that you don't have a degree is not a problem. But some sort of education or something you may need to pay somewhere, yeah? I don't think it's a massive problem. I'm not talking about massive amounts, I don't know. $100, $50, I don't know, it depends on what you ask the person to do for you. It's not a bad thing. So you using them, at the same time you enjoy, you're learning on that. And obviously learn about how people, software engineers, collaborate to each other. That's another important thing. So you need to learn the job. You're very rough on the job. Don't be scared to use someone else on the side. It's not a problem. And importantly, understand how the software community share code and, you know, modify code together, things like that. You may have word like agile. There are different methodologies out there. It's something collaborative. You need to understand how the other works. Work with others. So far, before the internship, you were learning how to play alone and the technique. During the internship, you need to refine your technique, which was okay to get into the job, but wasn't decent enough. At the same time, you need to learn how to work with others. That's something that you never done before. And then you have about 3 years to do all that. Around 3 years. Look, if it's four, because you know you have other things in your life, it's not a problem, right? I mean, we are going to get around. I don't know how much time you can dedicate on this, things like that. If it's four, I say three.
Yeah. It's gonna depend. I always say sometimes people do it quicker, sometimes people do it faster. I've seen some people get roles in 6 months, but they've also spent 20 to 40 hours a week just coding, coding, coding. So it's all about how much effort you put in, how quick you learn, how your study habits, what support system you have. And I would always encourage you, join communities of people who are focused on these things so that you have some people who you can talk to, because it is a lonely journey, and it helps when you have other people who are going down the route.
That's the must. That's what I'm gonna say at the end. But yes, I think this is the main. If there is any major striking difference between someone that studies software engineering in academia or an university, someone that does alone, this is the massive difference. You here are alone. And there's no one else to self-motivate you. Do you not have any peers that, you know, don't do the exam and stuff like that? You are alone. And that's to me, this is the massive difference you're going to have. Self-motivation against, I'm a uni, everyone is doing it, I'm doing as well. As a kind of a peer pressure or motivation to go forward. And you don't have that. You're just alone and self-motivated to do it. For that reason, I think it's even more important to go on events. On events, as we say before, meetup, of all of that, because at least you meet someone that's kind of doing that and you see what they do or whatever. You can talk about that or something around that.
Okay. Now, they're in year three or four, wherever it is.
First of all, congratulations if you're still there. I mean, because it's been tough.
Look, so many people even don't stop. They just try to learn and they don't even get to the internship. So you've come a long way. You're getting in the field.
100%. And I don't think there is any regret you want to stop here and say, you know what? I'm going to find another software development job. Well paid. Only backend. Whatever it is. I don't want to pursue to the other step. was already tough, but still I have a decent job, this very decent paid. The more I, you know, become senior, I stop here. I don't think there is any harm on that or any, you know. But
yeah, look,
if you want to continue, if you want to continue, here is the next step. So you need to understand a little bit of overall what is machine learning and data science. Now, there is a very well famous class on that. It's a bit dated, as in it was is around for a while, but still is well followed. The guy is called Andrew Ng. And the other equivalent is, I think Google has what is called Google AI Crash Course. I'm looking at it now. Again, we are going to send the links. But anyway, this gives you the fundamental of what machine learning is. Supervised learning, unsupervised learning, roughly speaking, how to clean the data, things like that. I'm not going to do that now, but that's the kind of thing you need to learn. And there are specific tutorials about that. Yeah?
Yeah.
Once you understand that, that's the first step.
Are you frustrated with your job search? Are you sending out resume after resume with no callbacks? If so, I have some good news. After 3 years of helping over 400 people land jobs at places like Meta, HubSpot, Google, Twitter, Amazon, Tesla, Disney, Sony, I created a course. In the Get Your Dream Career course, you'll discover best practices for creating a resume that stands out, and you'll also learn how to optimize your job search. It covers every aspect of the job, including resumes, application strategy, networking, LinkedIn profile optimization, interview guidance, and salary negotiation. You will also get a behind-the-scenes view of how recruiters use LinkedIn to find candidates. And of course, you'll get resume and cover letter templates. Get one step closer to your dream job. Sign up at the link in the notes below.
You need to go on what is the ChatGPT, etc. based today. It's called deep learning. Deep learning. So it's a way to use machine learning based on neural network. And on that, you need to learn two libraries. One is called TensorFlow and the other is called PyTorch. Yeah? How to...
Okay. And what is a library?
A library is essentially... It's okay. Like Windows. Windows is a the operating system. Within Windows, you can use Adobe as a library.
Yeah.
Using Photoshop and getting very better. Or, on the other side, you can get very good at Excel spreadsheet, understanding that. They're always within Windows, but, you know, they're different. I mean, you do different things.
Would you say they're like pre-built functions, so that way you don't have to, like, build it all yourself? You're not starting from scratch.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Okay, so you learn the basic of machine learning, and now you're learning a little bit of the advanced things, which is called deep learning. And you need to learn essentially these two libraries, TensorFlow and PyTorch. And the other thing you need to learn is fine-tune and pre-tune the model. Essentially, an AI model is the one that you use. ChatGPT is based on AI model, and you query the model. The model is already trained, yeah, it's ready to be used. But sometimes you want to fine-tune it, as in specialize the model to legal document, to only food and beverage, whatever you want to do, or the client ask it to you to do, okay? This is called fine-tuning. Taking a generic model and fine-tune to a specific problem, okay? And again, and the third aspect of it, but this kind of quick quote, using tools for collaboration, again, the machine learning world, that, again, they are evolving, but at the moment, February 24, the major one is still GitHub and Hugging Face. It's called Hugging Face. But again, this thing evolved very fast. So hopefully when you're going to watch it, I don't know, in 1 or 2 years' time, it's not going to change. Because you need to remember that AI works very fast. At this moment in writing, I think in 1 or 2 years from now, still GitHub and Hugging Face will be the tool of reference.
If it's not, we're going to have you back on again, and then you can tell us the new roadmap.
Thank you. Thank you. It seems it's that fast. Yeah. Okay, so at this moment, and this is another year of learning, yeah? For doing the normal machine learning and then math stuff. You're about only learning, and it's time for you to experiment. What I mean by experiment? There are pre-built AI tools or code or software you can find on, again, GitHub or Hugging Face at this moment. And all you're doing is play with it. I'm going to put a link as a reference again of the best GitHub cool to play. Already pre-trained for object detection. Again, or generative AI for poetry. I don't know, something like that. Yeah, play with it.
Yeah.
Try to pre-train on poetry on just food and beverage and see what happens. Try to pre-train that and play with it. The reason why you do that, because, you know, you learn a little bit around it, okay? And if you're interested in that, it's called Kaggle.com. I'm not sure, but it's very famous for machine learning engineer. Yeah? So it's literally competition. You're not really necessary to win. It's very difficult to win this competition anyway. But it's there to test yourself how good you are in training the model, in real competition, real problems, and see how you go with that. Try a little bit of Kaggle competition. It's something. By the way, all I say is because I did myself. Yeah? All I say so far, the only difference, again, between you and someone like me, I did everything I just said, I did it in an academic environment. You're doing that self-motivated again. That's the only difference, really. It's a big difference. I'm not saying it's small. I wouldn't claim that. But it's a motivation thing. I wouldn't say anything different. It's you are self-motivated. I was kind of peer-motivated. It's a big difference, but it doesn't mean that cannot be done. I think it's important to state that. So now you know the machine learning, you know what deep learning is, and you try yourself. You're about 5 years in, roughly speaking, yeah? Obviously, you can, at this moment in time, you're back to try to find a work. Obviously, play with prompt tuning, as you said, as Janet said before, try to prompt tuning stuff. But this is, you don't need really programming to do all of that. But it's always good to have also that sense together with your AI skills that you just developed, yeah? And yeah, how do you get to internship again? Anjali, so well funded, as we said, LinkedIn, go to Meetup, all of that, yeah? I stress this because it's very important. All these, even an academic guy has to do it, because someone, unfortunately, we have this kind of laid-back mentality that say if you have a degree, it's more relaxed, it will be easier to find a job. No way.
It's still tough.
You need to do these things regardless. You need to go to meetups, you need to meet people, you need to send LinkedIn contact to recruiter. All of these doesn't mean that you have a CV or in whatever university prestigious it is. You don't need to do this. You need to do exactly the same things. I think it's very important to understand that. Again, I think startups is easier for the same reason we said before for the software development world. And probably the way you tested this, there are startups that may want to do some AI. They don't have any, you know, expertise or whatever. You can ask. They can give you a project for free or something like that. I know free is, but the main goal for you is something to write in the CV. So what can you write in the CV? You have two things to write. It's any certification, Coursera, or any certification you want to do to say that you studied this thing, that you passed some certification to prove that. I don't think it's that bad. It's not a massive amount, I believe. I'd never see the price, but I think it would be $50, $100. I don't know, but you're not talking about a degree cost, yeah? I mean, you're talking you're talking really not a massive amount. And the other thing you can do is try to, even if it's free, some project in your CV. Build your own GitHub repository, your portfolio of projects that say, look, I did this project, this is my GitHub, this is what I did, blah, blah, etc. Even if it's free, you have a CV now. It's CV building. Frankly, all we say from day one, when we started four or almost 5 years ago, all we're doing here is CV building. That's all we're doing here. And yeah, hopefully that will land you in a machine learning intern position. Even if they ask you, you know, you just try and test machine learning or data cleaning, because most of intern positions, mostly data cleaning job, fine. You got it. You have something in your CV now. And yeah, that's it's gonna be it's been tough. But if you get to hear me, well done to you. Seriously, well done to you.
Yeah, this is like long. Most people, I will say that at least 90% will give up throughout the process.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, I'm a physicist. I study physics. That's, yeah. I want to give you an overview on that. Do you know the drop rate in physics when I did it? It's 90%.
Okay,
drop
makes
rate
sense.
Of university. I mean, when I started uni in the first year in physics, 90% dropped. All I'm trying to tell you is not just the university thing. It's the fact is the subject we are studying itself is difficult. Yep. No matter if you study alone or you study in universities, it still is difficult for you. So the drop rate is not because you're studying alone. The drop rate is because it's difficult per se.
Yep.
I think it's very important to come across because there is an allure. I'm it's against myself to say that, but this is an allure that degree make your life easier. The reason why it's easier is because there is more peer, social peer to move together. That's the massive difference. It's not because there is the name. It's, if you're doing university for the name and all of that, I think you're probably gonna, you know, regret it or be disappointed. Because that's not gonna save you. And that's why I accepted to do that, because to demystify what actually it means to do thing. At the end of the day, you actually need to do the job. Nobody you certify, you know, nobody or you know the piece of paper you're gonna get. So it's better fine to do alone.
So are they done or like they still have more to learn along the journey?
Of course, there is still to learn because AI changes a lot. There's a lot of paper, but the great thing is they are now an intern in AI. So I think if they continue to learn, but this time the reason why it will be easier if they get to the point is because again, you're in a peer situation. There are others you can learn. They're not alone anymore. So there is still a bit of collaborating, which they can still do something together. So the learning, etc., will not be as tough as it was until reaching this point, I think. That's the major difference. On top of that, you're rewarded, you're paid to learn for the first time in your life.
Yeah.
Which is a great feeling, to be honest.
Now, they got pretty far. How do they stay competitive, right? Because AI is one of those things that you can't just, I'm in AI. That's it. You got to stay competitive. And, you know, ChatGPT and OpenAI, all they did was just show to the public and release it, right? These things have been worked on for many, many years. And just some like you who has a PhD, it's not like you heard of ChatGPT, you got it. There's a long journey and it's going to continue being long and there's so many changes.
Look, there is no secret on that. You just keep doing what you did, but the only difference now that you've been paid to do it. And you study more research paper, you study more new GitHub, they're coming along, Hugging Face model, you're coming along, you check it out, you see how it works, you can see how they are retrained. There is one major assumption. We started from scratch here, but there was an assumption I kind of give it for granted. You need to understand a little bit of algorithm mathematics. This I kind of gave it for granted. I didn't put in the curriculum studies. I thought, I don't know if I did a good thing to give it for granted, but I think it's important to say at least now. I didn't want to cheat or anything. It just, I give it for granted that you know how to do some algebra or things like that. Matrix multiplication. Yeah. If I gave it for granted, I wasn't trying to do anything. I say that now. I probably added at the beginning.
Yeah. And you know what? They could go to Khan Academy and then you can really cover a lot of math fundamentals through that, because if you're not good in math, you will be just like a developer. You won't be that engineer, that high level, because when you're solving these problems, you have to really think about these math problems, right? When you're scaling, when you're doing things, when you're pulling data, right? Just like if you start using Excel and you start having spreadsheets with lots of rows. Eventually, you're reaching the limitations of Excel. Then you're using SQL, and you have to understand, oh, is this the most efficient way, right? Just because you write a SQL query, how long does it take? How much resources does it use? How long does it take to run? How can you make it faster? There are these little things that will set you apart and show that you're not just someone who pushes button. You're someone who thinks, and you're someone who understands that, hey, how do I do this better?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, please, this is the two things I didn't mention, algebra and statistics. This is the two things I didn't mention on that, but you're going to cover that up as you progress. Yeah, you have to. That's give you, relevance and things like that. And yeah, if you like, I can give you a final recommendation, but this recommendation I stress not because you are alone in no degree. Everybody that does any software development job, degree you want, yeah, Doesn't matter. Everyone will have this setback, yeah? So the first setback, as I say, is things that don't work. Happens to everyone, and please, no, believe now, but believe me, you will when you try to do it. Always look at the simple thing first. The most trivial, the most stupid. I mean, 2 + 2, look at that. Because that was going to be the mistake 90% of the time. I guarantee you, it's 2 + 2 + 4, and you did 5 for whatever reason. I know, it seems it's that level of stupidity that most of the time the code doesn't work. I know you don't believe that.
Yep.
I know you don't, because you don't have experience. But believe me, it is. That's the first thing I want to say. Second is, this journey, as we say at the beginning, is long. And so my suggestion for you, I know it's going to be tough, but do not judge yourself every day. Do not. Because every day you're going to be in pain.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to stress, even the one that does a PhD will be in pain because they think they won't work every day. However, I know it's difficult, but do this. Do not judge yourself every day because you will not see anything every day. Judge yourself every 3 months or 4 months.
That is good.
Setback. Today is 9 February. Whatever it is in 3 months' time, that's the day, and you do not judge yourself until that day. If you want to quit, quit in that. Quick in 3 months, that's the judgment day. For you, judgment day is 3 months away. Whatever the day is. You keep pushing, you get to the judgment day, and then judge yourself. Did I improve myself? Did I not improve myself? But do not expect to see improvement every day, judging yourself every day. This is self-destructive. I know it's difficult, by the way, and you will do anyway. And you will judge yourself anyway, because I did, everyone does. But please remember that. Evaluate yourself every 3 months. You should see a progress. Now, you may still decide it's too painful, this progress, but at least you should 100% see a progress. And that's the actual point. You will not see every week progress or things like that.
Yeah, you'll have ups and downs, you'll have slow times, fast times, but you'll see that if you stick to it, you'll have moments where you get a lot of progress quickly. But that can only happen if you stick to it, and it's because you have this foundation and a bunch of struggles and before.
Keep pushing for 3 months, no matter what happens, keep pushing for 3 months, and judge yourself every 3 months. You may still see that it's too painful, it's okay. But still, you will see it wasn't for nothing.
Yeah.
That's the main point.
What I really love about this roadmap is you're building skills along the way. So look, maybe you don't even get to deep AI. Now, if you move to sales, you move to marketing, you have the knowledge of the industry, you have some base, you can still communicate about it. When you read online, you have a better idea. So no matter what, you will be in better shape. And that's the important part.
Yeah. Now, the last two things I want to say is, first, we are going to put links here, okay? Whatever the link, if you want to put it in. Don't stick necessarily. These are examples of things. If you find another tutorial or find a person too difficult, whatever, find a similar tutorial. It may resonate well with you. Just example of tutorial on the subject you just presented. Yeah. The last thing I want to say is, do not believe on bootcamps that saying a weekend or whatever, you can become a developer or something like that. It charge you 10K or something. Please don't do that. Even if you say 6 months part-time, then you're going to end up in a 60K per year developer job. Don't believe that.
Yeah, what I've actually seen now is it's not happening anymore, because when the market was hot, you could get away by knowing a little. Now, market is very tough and saturated. A lot of bootcamp grads are not getting jobs. A lot of college degree grads are not getting jobs. You, look, these things, they give you some structured learning. It's never enough. You need to spend time outside to set yourself apart.
Yeah. I agree with that. I don't know about the the shortages in the market. At least I live in UK. There is still shortages, definitely on machine learning, and maybe some develop. I don't know the data statistic, but definitely you're not gonna become one just to a bootcamp that you pay 10 grand or something.
Yeah, no, definitely it's much more. And I always say try learning for free. If you can't do it yourself, then it's different. But I think you should at least do something. So then when you learn a little, you can evaluate a boot camp. You can see, what are they teaching you? What's the curriculum? What am I going to learn? And a lot of times there are online courses that are much more affordable and they have communities that don't cost as much. So just realize that there are many things. You have to figure out what makes sense for you. Look at the reviews. Talk to other people who have done them, because I've talked to some bootcamp grads. Some of them said, hey, this was good. Others said, hey, this was not a good use of time. I did not think I got what I needed out of it. So make sure you do that research. Now, what are some other things you want to share?
I've done really. I say for my own judgment, what I think is useful for someone that want to go in this path, which is not an easy path. But thank you for let me say that. And yeah, but I think I say whatever was important to say.
Yeah, no. Thank you so much for sharing this roadmap. I encourage anyone who's going through this, stick through it. You can do it, but it will be a long journey. Thank you for your time. And this is a wrap for the No Degree Podcast.
Thank you.
Another great episode. Thank you for listening. Hopefully this information was valuable and you learned a lot. Stay tuned for the next episode. This show is sponsored by you. No Degree wants to remain free from influence so that we can talk about the topics without bias. If you think the show is worth a dollar or two, please check out our Patreon page. Any amount is appreciated and will go towards making future episodes even better. Follow us on Instagram or Snapchat at No Degree Podcast, on Facebook at facebook.com/nodegreeinc. If you want to personally reach out to me, connect or follow me on LinkedIn at Junaid Iqbal, spelled J-O-N-A-E-D, last name I-Q-B-A-L. Until next time, no degree, no problem, nodegree.com.